Another feature of this atrocity, the bombing of Guernica, which was later immortalized in the painting by Pablo Picasso, was also significant. The use afterwards of propaganda and the technique of the big lie on the part of General Franco to simply deny the event outright. In an event that we'll see echoed as recently as the Balkan Wars in our later lectures and ethnic cleansing in that part of the world, the victims would themselves very often be blamed. The nationalist forces under Franco created the myth that it was in fact the people of Guernica themselves who had supposedly destroyed their city. The victims would be blamed for these atrocities as a way of shedding responsibility. In his memoir, Homage to Catalonia, in 1938, British writer and also Republican volunteer fighting on the side of the Spanish Democratic Republic, George Orwell, bitterly recounted from personal experience how the communists in Spain had, at Stalin's orders, betrayed their allies. His novel, An Homage to Catalonia, would become a classic of political disenchantment. And George Orwell's particular attack against communism would later be stepped up in other novels that we'll discuss later in our lectures. General Franco had won by 1939. He established harsh authoritarian rule with killings, internment in concentration camps, and repression of the intensest sort against the opponents of the regime. In its brutality, in its identity as a clash of opposing ideological camps, in its identity as very nearly a proxy war in advance between the different ideologies abroad in the 1930s, the Spanish Civil War would appear to be, in many ways, a dress rehearsal for the next world war. That world war would perfect the techniques of total war that already had been accelerated in the course of this conflict. But there would be in particular one phenomenon that would send the world hurtling towards the Second World War, and that was to be the rise of Nazism. In 1930, the Nazi movement, the Nazi Party, which will be more fully discussed in detail in our next lecture, made a breakthrough in German elections. By the 1930s, it was already clear to acute observers of the German political scene that democracy was most likely done for. It certainly had had what appeared to be a chance to solidify itself in the course of the 1920s, a brief period of stability from 1924 to 1929. Now it seemed clear that democracy had run its course in Germany, and the only question remained, what was to follow? Some new form of dictatorship was the likeliest variant. The Nazis in 1930 made a breakthrough in German elections by promising an end to elections in the future. Their party acquired national prominence, and as the Great Depression gripped hold, they would expand their hold on power. They promised to restore order, to create unity, to bring about economic revival, and, quite clearly, to abolish democracy as it had been experienced. With that list of promises, the Nazis would come to power in a crucial Central European state in 1933. Along with the international crises of the 1930s, the slipping into violence, the increasingly frequent recourse to wars of aggression, it would in particular be the rise of Hitler and his Nazi party that would lead to the Second World War. In our next lecture, we'll examine the rise of Nazism and the launching of its destructive course.